Hi, podcasters. This is Brooke with Let's Talk Art. Today I'm talking art with Les Christensen, director of the Bradbury Art Museum in Arkansas State University in Arkansas. We're talking about the Everything is Going to Be All Right exhibition, which goes on until April 12th. It's a group show, but it also has Andy Warhol in it. A big thank you to our sponsor, McGinn's Roxboro Maple Irish Whiskey. I've been involved with this brand from the beginning, and I'm really happy and excited to see what's become. I don't drink, but I love a good story. The history behind it is what got me. It's an old family story. Henry Stratford Pearse owned the longest-running distillery in Galway in the 19th century. So we've combined the Pearse whiskey with, did I mention the part of the family that were Vermont sugarers? They produce the high-quality maple syrup associated with Vermont. So we've combined the Pearse whiskey with the maple, which gives it a really nice, even taste, I'm told. All the tastings I've been a part of have had a really good response. It's through this story that I was introduced to Hugh Lane, who was actually the inspiration for this podcast. Check out RoxboroWhiskey.com to learn more about the whiskey and the story. I got to tell you, Les, I was really intrigued. I don't really know how I found this exhibition, but I was super intrigued with the name. How did this whole thing come to be?
Wow, it's kind of a long story, and I don't know whether you want me to go into the whole thing or not, but the origins of the exhibition came from several experiences that, in retrospect, we probably have all had in the last couple of years. Mine began most intensely in the first few months of 2016. At that time, I noticed that normally happy, rational people had become, or maybe I should say, were on occasion more cynical than normal. They were sad and anxious. In one case, maybe even somewhat combative. And it was sort of all the more notable because these people were folks that I knew that did not have these tendencies.
Right.
And I myself was kind of feeling the same way. I'm black, I'm blue. So, as I often do, I was thinking about it, and my first thought was that, it's the end of winter, and I live in the South, and spring starts to show up in March, and we're all winter weary, and it seemed like it was kind of a winter that just went on and on and on, and
right.
Weather was acting up, and, and I thought of it, I don't think that's really what's going on here, but, then, spring came and went, and it's summer, and these same normal, rational people did not return to their normal, happy, positive self.
Right.
So, in thinking about that, it was really clear, apparent that this mood was sort of cross-generational and racial and geographical and ethnic and gender, and it was people I knew from everywhere were sort of having the same response.
Right.
It just was so clear that it was a response to the divisive atmosphere that we were living in, particularly in 2016, but that had begun even before that.
Right.
So I wanted to do an exhibition about it. And what I really wanted to do was create a vehicle to kind of reset our viewers' frame of mind, even if just briefly. I wanted the audience to be able to come to a museum and leave feeling refreshed and maybe even upbeat.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where it came from.
Cool. I think that's the perfect, I think that's the perfect vehicle to change people's mood, to lift their spirits, to spark discussion, even invoke change.
Absolutely. It's been working. It's been really great. I mean, we were very definitely not interested in dismissing what was happening or denying it or trying to wash it away. But I was noticing that there were other venues that were kind of dealing with the situation that our country and, in fact, the world was in or is in. And instead of doing something that was bleak or angry or whatever, it just occurred to me to try to maybe take the flip side.
Yeah.
And just have something that was a little bit light, although that vaguely touches on some of these same subjects, but maybe spins it in a different kind of way. So.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Now, this is a group show, and you are at Arkansas State University. What is your role there?
What is my role here?
Yeah.
I'm the director of the Bradbury Art Museum,
cool.
which we affectionately refer to as BAM.
BAM.
yeah.
So are all the artists in the show? Are they all students? Or I saw Andy Warhol was listed in there. So.
Yeah, Andy Warhol. Yeah, he's a student here. No. As a matter of fact, it's our mission to bring in artists from outside of the area that are generally not seen here.
Cool.
With a few exceptions, we try to provide what can't be found here on campus. So.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So
they came from all over.
Yeah. Well, I think that, and I love the concept for this exhibition. I love the title even more. Like I said, that's what grabbed me. Tell me about some of the pieces, because they're all kind of different.
They are. They are super different. How about if I kind of walk you through the show a little bit and stop me wherever, because I'll just ramble on for
that'd be awesome.
For hours. So we wanted it to be a space that really changed your mood.
Mm-hmm.
So the first gallery, there are six galleries in the museum,
mm-hmm.
and you walk into one. And when you first enter, it's a very dramatically lit, kind of dark room. And you come in and you sort of are transformed, and that's what we were hoping would happen. And it was wonderful because I've had several visitors say this to me. Without them being informed that this is what we were trying to do. Like, oh, I feel like I'm in a different place. Come in and it's really dark. And there is an incredible artist whose work I ran into in New Orleans a few years ago, and it was one of those kinds of things where you see the work and it just really strikes you, and so you put it into, that mental vault of, like, I'm going to have to come back and revisit this person on a later date.
Mm-hmm.
And her name is Courtney Egan.
Mm-hmm.
So she makes these impossible botany-based digital projections that she manipulates the images. She uses, it sounds something other than what it is when I'll describe it to you, but she uses these beautiful flowers and often puts them in clusters, and they mm-hmm. kind of open and close at different times, and she's altered them herself. They're not just slow motion images that she's compiled.
Mm-hmm.
And they create these incredible projections that are so beautiful, they're almost painful.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, sort of.
Sort of?
Well, yeah, I mean,
well,
it's...
sometimes things that are just so incredibly beautiful, it's like unbelievable. I don't know. And they are like kind of supernatural almost.
Yeah.
So
that does make sense.
They're really incredible. So we have three, and they're large projections. So we have three of these going on
mm-hmm.
in the first gallery.
Mm-hmm.
And you come in, and it's really sort of meditative. They're really calming. They're really luscious, really soothing, and it's a really dark space.
Mm-hmm.
And then you leave there and you walk into the main gallery.
Mm-hmm.
And the main gallery, it's set up so that all of the galleries radiate off from the main gallery. So you leave this dark, very soothing space and you walk into a really well-lit, large room that is completely filled with these enormous watercolor / collage works on paper,
uh-huh.
Bright, big pieces that not only fill the walls, but they also spill out onto the floor.
Right.
So that is worked by a Kansas City artist named Ann Austin Pierce.
Mm-hmm.
And her work is really amazing. We really had a lot of fun assembling that part of the exhibition.
Mm-hmm.
One of the series of her works that we brought in were the Four Seasons, and we decided to omit winter. You know, we can always bring it back out.
Totally. Yeah, let's not do winter this year.
Like, everything is going to be all right. We left that behind.
Totally.
So that was kind of fun. So her work is really incredible and really, really beautiful. And like I said, it's on the walls and the floor. So kind of dynamic and exciting. Mm-hmm. And it's really big.
Mm-hmm.
And then also there are the other four galleries with the other four elements to the show. So one of them is the Andy Warhol work, and we are very happy to have been granted permission to be able to include a facsimile of his Silver Cloud in this exhibition.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're familiar with that piece.
No, I'm not.
Okay, Warhol challenged what was then the norm in 1966 when this piece was first created, that he challenged the idea that art should be seen from a distance rather than experienced through touch.
Uh-huh.
So we wanted an interactive work of art, and this fit the bill perfectly. And viewers can come in, they can touch it, they can run through it, they can dance around in it, they can play with it. And so we were really excited to be able to bring this in. The project consists of helium and air-inflated Mylar balloons that are, I'm going to guess, they're maybe 3.5 by 2 feet or 4 by 2 feet with these huge silver Mylar balloons that hover a couple feet off the floor. Sometimes they land on the floor, sometimes they go up a little high, but they're not just for with helium, so they don't just go straight to the ceiling. They just kind of bounce around in there. And viewers are allowed to move through the space and physically interact with these objects. So it's, you know, kind of a different spin on what we usually think of as, you know, don't touch the art.
Right, right.
So there was one particular family that brought in these two little kids, and the youngest one could just barely stand and sort of move a little.
Yeah, yeah.
And this little toddler, just a tiny little type, was able to pick up this balloon and bat it and move it several feet. And it was so amazing to watch the look on that child's face.
I bet.
The balloon was like 3 times as big as he was.
Yeah.
So it was really fun. And, you know, children in particular enjoy it, but really, we've had adult dancers come in and do a performance in there even. It's been a lot of fun to have that show.
Nice.
As part of it. Yeah, so that was a great addition to it.
Yeah. Well, let me stop you there real quick. What was the process for, you had the idea for everything is going to be all right and you wanted to make a safe, kind of a safe, happy space for people. So what was your criteria for the artists?
Well, that's actually an excellent question. Initially, I reached out and contacted a variety of artists, and I wasn't really surprised to hear the response that I got. And I called artists that I knew all across the country that maybe I didn't know if they would be in the show, but wanted to know what was going on in their part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the response I kept getting was, nobody's really... You know, everybody's work is kind of angry right now.
Right.
It's really dark, or it's bleak, or it's, and I just was running up against kind of a stone wall.
Yeah.
So just kind of kept at it. Mm-hmm. And as most curators do, you look at a lot of work and you sort of just keep notes and keep mental notes of what you've seen and just kind of kept pounding away at it.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy Warhol's Silver Clouds were one thing that I knew right away from the start. I thought it would be a great addition because of the interactive quality.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, you know, it just kind of went from there. I was looking for a work that was really beautiful, really funny, in some way interactive or playful or, you know, just, you know, I wasn't looking for videos of people dying.
Right.
So I was trying to avoid that kind of, that whole set of of work. Right. So, yeah.
Right.
And it was out there.
Yeah.
It was harder to find than I thought.
Right, right. So was it, when you contacted the artists that you did, were they, what was their response? They were kind of like, oh, this is really cool. Were they excited about it and they knew exactly what to do, or did they have trouble finding some happy art? Cause like you said, it is kind of a questionable time.
Right. And well, you know, and not all of the work, you know, some of the work has its own bits that are maybe not dark, but, you know, maybe a little bit of dark humor, let's say.
Right.
Everybody that I talked with, I already knew in advance what I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And so it all worked, you know, it all worked out. Like, I knew that they had done this particular piece or that body of work for whatever. So I knew where we were going when the conversation started. And it was great because everyone was very interested in kind of taking the flip side spin to this kind of a theme,
right.
Divisive climate we're having. So.
Right. Right. Cool. Cool. So finish taking us through.
I'm sorry?
Continue taking us through, I guess.
Oh, okay, sure. So in another gallery, we have a body of work that all deals with mark making, and in particular, scribble or doodle. And that was a really fun idea, and it sounds kind of flaky, and I don't really mean it that way, but just the word doodle.
Yeah. That's a fun word.
And it is a fun word. I hadn't really thought about it before, but it just, you know, really played nicely into this. So I have this friend who is a well-known curator and has in the last decade or so really kind of taken off creating work and what those pieces are.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really delicate and almost gem-like doodle.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is David S. Rubin. He lives in LA. So I contacted him, and he was very gracious and was happy to lend us some of his work to include in the show. And that particular gallery is the only gallery that has multiple artists in it. All the rest of them are one artist is represented in each place.
Right.
So this was really fun, and, you know, we have these other playful elements going on in there where you can do your own doodle.
Mm-hmm.
We have one small space where everybody can pin up their own doodle.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of been a fun.
That's
fun
cool.
Competition.
That's really cool. Kind of like a very interactive type thing. That's very cool.
So that was fun.
Yeah.
And then there are several other artists in there. We borrowed work from a variety of different places and different collections and brought in other artists who deal with, you know, that kind of loose mark making that's made either idly or otherwise, and it just fills out that space. So that's a nice corner in the museum.
Yeah.
And then the last two spaces are both really powerful and sort of maybe the darkest two that we have, but they're really, I think, integral parts to the show.
Mm-hmm.
We brought in an artist from Illinois whose name is Barbara F. Kendrick, and she has created sculpture and painting and mixed media works throughout her whole life, and is now 85, and is still making work.
Wow, good for her.
Really incredible work, too. Really powerful work. So she got this idea, and I'm really proud of her because not only did she pull this off, and the work is just amazing, but she taught herself how to do this, so, or she had help, I'm not sure about that, but to learn a whole new process, I think it's pretty honorable.
How old was she when she learned the new process?
Well, I think she started it a couple years ago, so, you know, well into her 80s. So she takes these really high-resolution photographs of beautiful classical sculpture, the majority of which are busts, but not all. Most of them are.
The majority of which are what did you say?
Are just a bust.
Okay.
You know, as opposed to the full
figure.
So she takes these photographs, and they're most of them, I can think of one piece that's actually wooden, but the rest of them are all really smooth, beautiful, marble busts of women.
Yeah.
Classical, you know, Greek and Roman works.
Cool.
And she then, yeah, and they're really beautiful. She takes these photographs, and then she photographs her face in the appropriate pose to fit onto the sculpture. And she in Photoshop, she superimposes her face onto the sculpture. And then she takes it a step further, and she photographs her skin.
Oh my gosh.
She manipulates it so that it becomes the drapery.
Wow.
It becomes, you know, the garments that these women are wearing in these sculptures. So you see this, they're really powerful. They really make an incredible statement, and they're also quite humorous.
Yeah.
So she makes these incredible photo collaged pieces that very much deal with ageism and sexism and they're just incredible. So rather than having on a gown of some type, they're actually, the gown is actually made of her skin.
Right.
And it's a powerful thing because you don't necessarily get it at first.
Yeah, yeah.
She has them put together in such a way that you see the piece and you walk up and you're like, oh, well.
And you don't notice anything different.
Lady. Yeah, and then you're like, oh, my God, that's just kidding. So, but they're really wonderful pieces.
That sounds awesome.
So, yeah, they are awesome. They're really great. You can look at it as a sign of hope or life will go on.
Right.
As she said, I'm still here. I love it.
Well, I think it's so cool that she would have thought of doing that. I think that's very, just very creative, very unique. And yeah, I mean, the symbolism and the I just think that's so deep.
Yeah. They work on so many levels, which is what makes them such strong pieces.
Right.
And it's really fun because she's in a room that's kind of small, and her pieces aren't that large, and so we've got numerous works all around you, so you get in there, and you're in the middle of all these people that are just, I mean, they're all her, but they're all there around you, and it's kind of overwhelming.
Right.
It's really great part to the show.
Cool. Continue. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right. Go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say, I just think it's so cool that the school just does this. That because most group shows at universities or schools, it's just the students, and it's like a student show or like a class show. But I think this is fantastic that that you have, you know, outside people as well.
Yeah, it is. It's really good for the students. We are a contemporary art museum and do bring in a lot of work for our community and the university students and faculty and stuff as well. So it's fun to have that here for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So I'm sorry, what were you going to say? I'm sorry. Yeah, you're kind of fading a little bit.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay, let me start that over again. Just delete that left. So the last gallery in this series of expeditions is what I think is likely the most appropriate to the theme.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Friedman is the artist, and he has done a piece
titled 1 Hour Smile. There's a video of him smiling or trying to smile for an entire hour.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Oh, it's really powerful. So it's a recording of the artist's supposedly happy face held quite often painfully for a full 60 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And it's like a 250 feet, and it's the perfect foil for, you know, this endless stream of disturbing events that confront us. You can sit there and watch it and just burst out laughing. He's smiling along sweetly, and then slowly you see his eyes kind of start to get smaller. Cheeks quivering.
Quiver.
Lights up again, and it's like, okay, he's back.
That sounds incredible. Yeah. I saw that picture, and I wasn't entirely sure if it was a video or a picture, but yeah, that's fantastic. That's a perfect, yeah. Perfect.
You know, it's what we all have been doing is plastering the smell on our face, you know, however long, and just keep on going.
Yeah, that's funny. That's perfect.
It is really funny.
So how did you get to be the director? I mean, like, what got you into art? How did you, what was your background in art?
I'm probably true of many artists. It was like the only thing I was ever going to do was be an artist. Mm-hmm. A little kid.
Right.
And my background is in sculpture, and I was a practicing artist for quite a long time, and my husband teaches at the university here.
Mm-hmm.
They opened this new facility, and they needed someone. I think they thought, like, it was going to run itself or something. Oh, no, I mean, that sounds like I'm being mean, but I think they just hadn't thought through the staffing of it.
Right.
And so I was asked to do it just, you know, like, for a semester or something until mm-hmm. we could open up and do like a national search. And it wasn't really something I wanted to do because I had a really active career, and like the first week that we were open, I had a show on both coasts. So,
oh, wow.
You know, I was really busy.
Mm-hmm.
Totally was not, you know, where I was planning on going.
Right, right.
So now it's 17 years later, and I'm still here.
Yeah, yeah.
Seriously, but it was just a variety of different things that happened, and I kept being like, okay, I'll do this for one more year, and then, mm-hmm. and then, you know, it's, you're there.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
it happens.
Yeah, it happens. But it's a beautiful space, and a couple of years ago, we established ourselves. We were originally a gallery.
Mm-hmm.
And then we realized we were functioning as a museum. We had a private collection. We did public outreach. We had multiple rooms, you know, multiple galleries within the space.
Mm-hmm.
So we just kind of did a complete makeover, rebuilt the entire structure, interior structure, and began again. And it's been a really good experience, and I'm glad we did, because it was the right thing for us to do at that time.
Yeah, totally. So, well, this is awesome, and this still sounds like such a great exhibition. I want to check it out. I want to go there, but it's really far.
Yeah, we're open for a couple more weeks. Come on.
Cool. Yeah, you are open until the end of the month, right?
We're open until April 12th, actually.
No, April 12th, not quite
the end. More than a week, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, a bit more time.
So, well, it sounds like such a great exhibition, and such a creative and just so different. I always love to hear how they come to be, and I just think this is perfect. So
well, thank you for contacting us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me.
I look forward to hearing your future podcast.
Definitely. Hang on one second. I'm going to turn this off. I'll put you back on regular phone. Maybe. Thank you so much to Les Christensen of the Bradbury Art Center at the University of Arkansas for chatting with me about the Everything is Going to Be All Right exhibition. And it is going to be all right. And you can go see the exhibition until April 12th. This has been a Hotspur Media production.